The billion-dollar ride-sharing industry has a real problem with sexual harassment and assault. Last week, a 17-year-old girl was allegedly assaulted by her Uber driver during a normal drop-off to Bondi, and there have been plenty of anecdotes and cases of other such events. Although the matter will be heard by the Liverpool local court in October, the incident has raised more issues for the ride-sharing industry as a whole. Joining us today to discuss these issues and female ride-sharing apps in particular is Michelle Redfern, founder of Advancing Women, an organization which strives to achieve gender equality. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Michelle.
It's my pleasure, Sam. Glad to be here.
So, Michelle, you know, how can companies such as Uber, should they be taking a more proactive approach to protect women riders?
Yeah, well, look, I think any organisation that's serious about including and leveraging the female economy and customers and workforces needs to be really deliberate about understanding what works for women and what doesn't work for women. And clearly, with ride-sharing companies like Uber, they need to understand what's the real lived experience for female drivers as well as female riders in their industry. So kind of not relying on anecdotes and Twitter and various other things to get their data. They need to start saying, what is the lived experience? And mm-hmm. then start to deal with the unmet needs of those customers.
And currently, like, you know, you mentioned they need to be deliberate about it. Currently, it seems like they're not being very deliberate at all. Sort of how hard are they actually trying right now at this, for this kind of particular issue?
Well, look, you know, clearly Uber is not one of my customers, quite mm-hmm. happy for them to be one, but, you know, I am a consumer of ride sharing, and I think, you know, the other day I was on Twitter sharing about my experience with a female ride sharing mm-hmm. Organisation, and the reason I chose that is that I'm a businesswoman, I travel alone a lot, and the advent of female ride sharing organisations have taken away the barrier for me around safety, around feeling respected, and, you know, frankly, knowing confidently that I'm going to get from A to B without even having a kind of an uncomfortable conversation. So that's a long way of saying I don't think there's a lot of deliberateness by the existing ride-sharing mm-hmm. companies to say, you know, what is it that we need to do to cater for this part of the population. You know, women are 51% of the world. If you look at the statistics, women control or influence between 75 and 80% of the spend of the trillions of dollars of consumer spending in the world. If you're not taking into account the needs and unmet needs of women, I think, you know, from a pure economic standpoint, you're leaving money on the table. And as a mm-hmm. shareholder, I'd be going, hey, what are you going to do about that?
So you've already mentioned one of the, you know, primary sort of sale points for this is that, you know, for women using women-only ride-sharing services, safety, of course, is one of the massive issues when it comes to, you know, women going from point A to point B or navigating, you know, spaces, public spaces especially. What are the sort of other benefits that are kind of built into this or other sort of, you know, value that these ride-sharing services provide?
We think about some of the other unmet needs typically is, as working parents, and if I talk about working female parents, often one of the challenges is managing the ferrying of children, school-aged children, even smaller children from point A to point B. So female ride-sharing services such as, am I allowed to mention the name of the one?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Sheba. Mm-hmm. Sheba was started by George McEnroe, and she decided to disrupt this part of the industry simply because some of her needs weren't being met. And they were, if I'm at work, how do I get my kids from point A to point B? I can't put them in a taxi. I don't feel comfortable putting my little kids in a car with a strange man. What am I going to do about this? So she said, well, I'm going to start my own. So that ride-sharing service is able to take children, unaccompanied children, from point A to point B and give the parents some reassurance. They have childcare seats or, you know, baby seats. Available, which often if any parent that's ever had to jump in a cab or an Uber with a small child, you think, oh no, there's no childcare seat. So it's really thinking about the consumer and what their needs or unmet needs are and saying, how can I meet those needs? So aside from the safety factor and the less creepiness factor, there's those really practical things mm-hmm. that particularly working parents face.
Now, Michelle, these, you know, services like Sheba, which you mentioned, and SheSafe mm-hmm. are these, you know, women's exclusive ride-sharing services, mm-hmm. but they're only effective if people know about these services. How have they gone in terms of attracting a customer base or spreading the word in Australia?
Well, look, I think that, George would be the best one to talk about her experience and the uptake. Certainly, I know from using my own network, I promote Sheba as much as I possibly can. I think it's incumbent on all of us to say, look, here's a really great product. Get out there and use it. So, look, yes, they need to. There needs to be many more drivers and many more customers to make these services viable. And conversely, there'll be new entrants to the market who want to leverage that female economy. But I don't know if I really answered your question because I don't have that data at hand. But
no,
I would certainly say that within my own networks of professional women or women from all walks of life, I talk about Sheba and go, wow, that's a great idea. I'm going to use that now. Because, again, it says, okay, these are the things that you can get from this service rather than what you're putting up with at the moment.
Now, this sort of, whenever we come to, whenever people talk about female-only services or these sort of specialized services, it sort of, brings us back to sort of the core issue, which is, sort of society as a wider whole. How do you, see these, ride-sharing services fitting into sort of wider society?
Not one size fits all when we're talking about inclusion and diversity and society. And, there is a saying, you can't please all of the people all the time, but gee whiz, I think we need to try a lot harder with a lot of our products and services to say, who isn't being catered for? Who is being excluded from full participation in work, in life, in sport, whatever? And how can we tap into that? If I think about Australia has an ageing population and one in five people in Australia identifies as having a disability. So how do those people and the women in that cohort, what are their unmet needs and how does an organisation and society in general say, how do we more fully include those people? Mm-hmm. How can we get them to be, participating more fully in life and leadership and sport and everything? So, it just takes a little bit of reflection, dig deep, and being more deliberate. And, going back to the start of our conversation, being quite deliberate about who are we not including today and how could we do better at that?
Okay, well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us this morning and talking about this.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. And that was Michelle Redfern, founder of Advancing Women, an organization which strives to achieve gender equality.